Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George and I are both in Zephyr A. This is season 32 for George and season 28 for me.
This is day 15 of season 100. Question 1 asks us for the last spoken word in the final Star Wars trilogy.
Right, and notes it's the last word of the film's title as well. So it's one of those, you know, Star Wars colon, and then, you know, sort of the subtitle of it. And I really had it in my head, like, I've seen all of these movies, but the titles of them kind of blur together, like I'm not that huge of a Star Wars nerd about it, I guess. So I knew one of them was called The Last Jedi. I knew there was The Rise of Skywalker. I don't remember what the third one is, actually. But I figured it was one of those two that was the final one. And I thought, well, The Last Jedi seems like it should be the last movie.
Sure.
And I thought saying something about the Jedi would be sort of fitting for the end of the series. Because that was certainly such a focus. So I put down Jedi.
I believe the other one was The Force Awakens.
Ah, right. Thank you.
I just immediately thought that this was going to be The Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And that the last word would be Skywalker. And fun fact, I have not actually seen that movie, despite having been a huge Star Wars nerd for most of my life.
Uh-huh.
You know, being 4 years old when the first one came out, just right there in the groove for that. And
yeah.
Over the years, the main line story just kind of wore away at my soul, and I just didn't bother. As I recall, it was a... it was a matter, I think you took the elder kids, like, very soon after it came out.
Could be.
Or maybe just one of them, and the other went with their other family, or something like that. And I, quote, volunteered, end quote, to stay home with the three or four-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, partially just because I just didn't care anymore.
Mm.
And I have not managed to catch it on Disney Plus or anything like that since then. I've just never felt like devoting a couple of hours to ending the saga.
Sure.
So, oh well. So I said Skywalker.
Well, you got the correct answer. Mm. More is the pity to me. Mm. Question 2, more happily focuses us on Tip O'Neill. The fact that he opened the House's proceedings on March 19th, 1979, to be the first distinguishable voice on what cable network?
So this must have been C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would have picked 1979 as being its origin year. I would have thought later, probably, just because who had cable in 1979? But I guess enough people that they wanted to broadcast.
Sure.
So I went with C-SPAN.
Yeah, I thought much the same. I just figured, you know, there's really only one network that is synonymous with broadcasting the proceedings of Congress, and that is C-SPAN. Of course, there's been additional channels at times. There's been at least C-SPAN 2. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about further ones.
I think up to 3.
Up to 3. That sounds right. I don't know if there currently still are all of those. But yeah, C-SPAN's been around since my experience of cable, really, and not that I have focused on it a lot or watched it. Probably in recent years, we've had more occasion to watch it, living in the historic times that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there really nothing else suggested itself to me at all, because this is what other station or channel could I ever think of that would be doing this. I put C-SPAN also.
Yep. And that was correct.
Indeed.
I didn't hyphenate it, though.
Nor I.
Question 3 asks us, what house was George the first British monarch of?
Right. Yeah, notes that it was a German electorate, and that's really kind of what helped me remember it, because I certainly wouldn't have... You know, the British monarchy is not something that I've got nailed down in my head. But I did remember that, you know, George and his descendants were these German rulers and changed the way that British English was spoken, as I understand it, that, you know, that's when we started, or when they started calling the river the Thames. It used to be the
Because.
Thomas because that was how it was written. And, or I may be mispronouncing that too, but like the
Much
Thames is
more
the
like it was
way,
spelled.
yeah, a very, you know, much more German-speaking person would read and interpret that, and then that becomes the sort of received pronunciation, as they say. So, and in fact, on that same note, the Boston accent is a lot more like how British people prior to that time would have spoken. So, in any case, that is all kind of aside from the point that this was one that I knew that I had heard of, and that I could, you know, I had to tease away like it's not the Habsburgs, because that's a whole other thing in Europe. They were never the British monarchs that I recall, but it was some ha something. We're kind of on a theme with German answers that start with ha in this season, I guess. But after I let that one percolate, like this was one that was just like, I know that I know this. It's gonna come to me. And then it did, you know, a few minutes later, that it was Hanover. That somehow stuck with me well enough. Like I had to rule out too, like this is not where Windsor comes from. You know, that's a you know, different British, you know, branch of things. But I knew that I at some point I learned about Hanover being the house of these particular kings, and that's what I put down.
I just immediately figured, oh, this is Hanover, right? Yeah, it's not Stuart. Hanover, Hanover, Hanover. Is that a German electorate or state? I feel like it is. Is there a different one that I might be thinking of? I don't think so. I feel like there was. I feel like I've heard of the Hanoverian monarchs. So yeah, okay. I'll just go with Hanover. And didn't really give it that much extra thought.
Well, and that was the correct answer.
Which is probably good because someone pointed out that the Windsors were originally, or earlier, the Saxe Coburg Gothas. And if I'd possibly remembered that, then I might have fallen over myself and thought, oh, well, maybe it's one of those. Or, some combination of them. But I just figured it was the Hanovers.
And it was. Question four gives us several location names in the US and asks us what bakery makes cookies named after them.
I was kind of reading this and just sort of glazed my eyes over and skipped to the end of the question and like, oh, cookie, this is Pepperidge Farm. Okay. And I went back later and I was like, okay, which of these can I definitely identify as cookies? And it's none of them. Like, I couldn't tell you what any of these are. I was trying to remember the one I could remember, or the two or three, and I like Milano. Okay, that's not it. And then there's like a heavily chocolate chipped one, more of a chocolate chunky one. Is that one of these?
I think that's Sausalito.
Is that
I think
Sausalito?
so.
Okay, I may have just kind of conflated that with sausage in my head and just decided that that couldn't possibly be a cookie that I liked. But yeah, I figured, well, it's not going to be anything else. Like it's Pepperidge Farm probably did not steal that gimmick from somebody else with, eight varieties of cookie.
No Keebler Lexingtons hanging out there.
Yeah, so it's got to be Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah, this speaking of the British accent, the whole Pepperidge Farm remembers commercials certainly come to mind with these things, but particularly I, you know, once we're talking about connecting city names and cookies, Pepperidge Farm does very much come to mind, and that was really Sausalito was the one I picked out of the lineup there as like, yes, I know that was a Pepperidge Farm cookie. I kind of vaguely remembered Maui and Nantucket. Maui, I think, is like a macadamia nut type of thing, fittingly, because they grow a lot of macadamias there. And yeah, I can't remember what the Nantucket one is. You know, I paused to think about, well, what's the one that's kind of still the most popular, which is the Milano, and a favorite of our kiddos as well. But of course, that is not a United States location. And it makes me wonder, I think there may be a couple of others that are non-US location named. But I don't remember them off the top of my head. The long story short here is that I was almost certain this was Pepperidge Farm.
And it was. That was a hard one to defend for me, whether it was like zero or one. I just figured I eventually gave it a one because I thought it would be more likely for someone to overthink it
Sure.
than more likely for them to overthink it than to not know it.
Right. And I kind of had to cross-reference with like one of my opponent in the main Rundle had a very high like both current events and American history scores, I think. So C-SPAN is what I zeroed for them.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Question five asks us for either of the two most notable works of literature that has Confessions as a title.
Yeah, and this one is, sort of threw me off because it's not something that I have ever studied or really delved into very much. I was pretty certain that I did not know the Latin one, and that I shouldn't try to make a guess from that. Although I did think, interestingly enough, of Ovid, who is, spoiler, tonight's Final Jeopardy answer or question, I should say. And so, but I was like, I don't think that's it. I just, I've read about Ovid. That's all I really know about that. And so I was like, let's focus on the French possibilities here. So like Rousseau came to mind. I thought about could it be like, I didn't think it'd be like Descartes. That didn't seem like his kind of thing that he'd be, talking about. I thought about, is it like the Marquis de Sade because, he was being confessional about all these, sexual things or whatever. And finally, I was like, okay, I have to let this one sit and percolate for a while. And then finally, Voltaire popped to mind. I thought, oh, yeah, that sounds more like being on the right track. So, I think that I felt, a little bit confident even in putting down Voltaire.
I immediately thought of St. Augustine,
Oh.
and to the point that I really tried to convince myself that it was something else. I knew I wasn't going to get the French one.
Okay.
There's just too many French names bouncing around in my head that I don't actually have good firm grips on. Like, this is definitely the person who did this or that or the other thing.
Right.
It doesn't help that a lot of the great quotations of various French philosophers and thinkers have been apocryphal. So yeah, I just kept coming back to Augustine and trying to convince myself that wasn't it, and I just couldn't come up with anybody else who would have been a Latin early CE thinker and writer. So eventually I just said, okay, well, if it's not Augustine, I'm never going to guess the Frenchman, so I'll go with Augustine. Although I did briefly think, is De Sade in the possibilities here? And I thought, I feel like De Sade was later. So I'm going to go with the one that I can't unconvince myself of and say Augustine.
And that was one of the correct answers, Saint Augustine of Hippo. The other was Rousseau,
Rousseau.
my first thought.
I'm sorry.
And I, yeah, very, very irked that I didn't just go with that because why not go with the thing that seems to be automatically paired with the concept? More's the pity again. Finally, question six asks us for a term in botany that is shared between zoology and systems of organs and plants.
I just didn't know this, so I thought, well, xylem is like one of those kind of like structural substances, I feel like. kind of like cellulose, but sort of like that. And I thought, well, maybe that's, you know, it's kind of a an in-between thing and an outermost layer, so maybe that's what it is in this case. So I'll go with xylem, XYLEM.
Okay. Yeah, so this one, the plant side of it didn't really bring much to mind for me. And so I focused more on the outermost layer of organs and tissues. And the three that are mentioned parenthetically here are adrenal glands, kidneys, and the hemispheres of the cerebrum. And so I kind of glazed over that one when I first read the question and thought to myself, well, what's a thing that is, part of the adrenal glands? Like there's an adrenal cortex. And I thought, and then I reread the question too and went, oh, well, that would fit with hemispheres of the cerebrum, because those are definitely cortices as well. I kind of took it on faith that kidneys would have some kind of, I don't know, hepatic cortex. I don't know what it might be specifically, but did that also seem like this kind of tissue between the vessels and the epidermis of plants? I guess, sure, yeah, that could be. It kind of just sounds sort of like a matrixy thing. And so, that was good enough for me just because I could come up with adrenal cortex and I figured the brain would also have cortexes or cortices or whatever it is. So I put down cortex.
I would have kind of always, I would have identified the cortex as a structure more than like a, layer of things or tissue between systems like that, like an organ or a part of an organ more than, as it's described here, just.
It makes sense, yeah. And I mean, the cerebral cortex is that sort of top outer layer, in some sense of the brain. So maybe that's kind of where it comes in that way. The adrenal cortex, I think, might be the, it is something that sort of sits atop the adrenal glands, I think. But anyway, that was the correct answer.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks.
So I think we each got five today.
No, I got four.
You got four. That's right. I'm
because I
sorry.
should have had Rousseau and did not.
Yeah.
And truly, I probably should have had Skywalker too, but because that, I mean, it was one of those things where it's effectively a coin flip, and I could have just as easily said, no, I mean, it's that counterintuitive thing where they're ending on a hopeful note, because I think that it did. It's a little, my memory of the movie itself is a little bit vague, although I remember enjoying it a great deal, and as I don't know where I'd rank it in the overall like 9-volume series, but it's probably in the top half. Yeah, so yeah, just one of those days where I just kind of jumped on the wrong train a couple times. So hopefully it's in areas where I might be expected to do a little better. Well, I don't know about Voltaire. They should probably, or Rousseau, they should probably three me on that one, but I guess we'll see.
Well, that's it for today. Tune in tomorrow for more post-game analysis. Follow us on Blue Sky at Learned Lag, now with all the vowels. And remember,
Don't forfeit.
don't cheat.